3 weeks ago, we started this series that we've been calling Respectable Sins. And we label those respectable sins as those sins sometimes that we'll just justify, that we think are okay, but they're really sins that, like any other sin, keep us out of fellowship with Jesus. And our header has been this: we all have blind spots. We all have blind spots, character flaws, or certain respectable sins that seem to go noticed in our lives. Often, these subtle sins are never dealt with, and we become so preoccupied with the major sins of society that we can lose sight of the need to deal with our own more subtle sins. So this morning, that subtle sin, that respectable sin that we're going to talk about is profanity. Profanity. Now, some of you jumped, you didn't see me Friday on the golf course when I hit that bad shot. Or you didn't see me yesterday when I was driving down 74 and someone cut me off. You didn't see me this morning when I stubbed my toe. I didn't do any of those, by the way. I didn't play golf Friday. Anyway, here's the thing. Profanity is not just curse words, okay? And I'd like us to think of that this morning. Even though profanity can be bad too, those curse words, but any kind of destructive speech can be profanity. Now, there's a phrase, and we've titled our message that, "Loose lips sink ships." And we researched that, like, where did that phrase come from? Loose lips sink ships. Well, this phrase, get this, originated on propaganda posters during World War II. And with the earliest version, they used this wording, "Loose lips might sink ships." But this phrase was created by the War Advertising Council, there it is, and used on posters by the United States Office of War Information. Now here, this was the purpose of it, okay? This poster was part of a campaign to advise servicemen and other citizens to avoid careless talk that might undermine the war effort. There were many similar slogans, but "loose lips sink ships" really caught on. And you know, that's a great phrase, because when we let our words get out of control, they can destroy those we attack with them. Or some of you have been encouraged by words that just really just bring life to you. They've kind of like, yeah. And there's people like that. They're just encouragers with their words. Get this, and you're going to laugh because that's all he says. The average person uses 16,000 words a day. I'm already at 15, 59, 6, anyway, not really. But I have talked a lot this morning. I drink coffee, and it's not the Holy Spirit, but it sure helps. But it just gets me going, and I like to talk, and then about 9 o'clock, if you need something, just call one of the other pastors. I just start to get cranky and shut down. But here's the thing. We use a lot of words, and again, they have great power. And as followers of Christ, let's realize this morning that our speech can bring healing, can bring hope, or it can bring hurt. So that'll be our challenge today, overcoming loose lips, not letting profanity, destructive words get in the way. And our header verse will be this, Ephesians 4:29. Now you say, boy, he uses lots of scripture. Well, I'd love to be accused of that. In fact, I counted up how many scriptures or passages are going to come up on the screen today, and there's 30. So, and typically I preach about 30 minutes. That's why they let me preach on baptism Sunday, because they want to let you out early, or on time anyway. But here's the thing. Those references come up because I feel like God's word's much better to hear than what I have to say. So here's the first one. Don't let any unwholesome talk, okay, destructive speech, profanity, come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I think of this, of all the hurtful situations that I've been involved in my life, in church, in family, with extended family, with friends, it's words that should have remained unsaid that have caused the most pain. So much heartache could be spared simply by saying nothing. This tool of destructive speech is a great tool of the enemy. So this morning, let's just go through some of these ways our destructive speech gets in the way and hinders our walk, and it hurts the body of Christ. The first one is this: lying. Lying. Some people just can't tell the truth. They just don't know how to tell the truth. And I'll tell you this, God's word in Proverbs, and we'll use a lot of Proverbs this morning, says there are six things that God hates. I mean, that's strong. Seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, here it is, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, he touches on that again, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Strong words. Friends, God hates lying. It should not be part of the walk of the follower of Jesus. In Colossians, Paul's challenging this young church, and he says in Colossians chapter 3, he says, don't lie to each other. And we can just take that as a mandate to here at Pleasant City Church. Don't lie to each other. Since you've have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which you're being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So what a great point here, to be truthful as we put off the old and put on the new Jesus. Now, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ at the age of 16 years old, Jesus Christ took up residence in my life. The truth came into my life. In fact, that's another reference on the screen here in John 8. Notice what it says, and Jesus is having this conversation. He says, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, get this, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Think about that. Freedom comes when the truth comes into your life. And of course, the truth is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the truth. And my challenge to you as we begin this morning is to be one who has accepted the truth of Jesus. Has there been a time in your life here this morning where you have given your life to Jesus Christ, when you've accepted that truth? Now, not when you've been baptized, even though that's good obedience, but a time where you said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life and save me. I turn away from my sin and I trust in what your blood did for me in the cross. Today I give my life to you. That's a simple prayer for any of us here this morning to make and to take to have, to where you give your life to Christ. And see, when you give your life to Christ, your life changes. When you give your life to Christ, you start telling the truth. And you stop using profane speech typically too, or you should anyway, even when you golf. So Jesus longs for each of us to know the truth of his word. The truth of his word. So that's the contrast to this. So we go from lying to telling the truth, to speaking the truth. And Ephesians really gives it real clear for us. In Ephesians 4, verse 25, we're told, each of you must push off falsehood and speak the truth to his neighbor. Speak the truth. In Proverbs, I love this, an honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. I remember the first time that my wife kissed me on the lips. She kissed me. Actually, I kissed her, but I could tell she was waiting for it. It's like, come on. And it was like, that kiss on the lips was like, and it was a short kiss, by the way. Those prolonged kisses can get you in trouble. We won't go there. We'll say that for the teenagers in the next service. But here's the thing. That kiss on the lips is just, that is good. And that's what truth is. It's like there's just nothing like truth. It gives us freedom. It gives us confidence in Jesus. So put away lying. Destructive speech number one, no room for lying. Tell the truth. Here's the second one. Gossip. Ooh, gossip. There's one. It's like, this is just too good to keep. There's these three friends. They're out in the boat, and they're fishing and having a great time. And they decide, hey, let's just really get deep as friends. And the first friend, well, let's call him Jonathan. So Jonathan says, you know, I really struggle with anger. You know, I get mad a lot, and I yell at my kids. I get frustrated with people I work with. I get frustrated at my church. I'm just an angry person. Will you guys help me? So we said, sure. You know, and the other friends were like, yeah, you know, we'll there. And then there's this other friend, and we'll call him Christian, okay? Now, Christian, he has issues, too, and you know what his issues are? He overdrinks. And he tends to over sit a little too long at the cup, as 1 Timothy talks about. And his friend says, "Well, they will help you too." And then there's this third friend. Of course, his name's Gary. And Gary says, "You know, I struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get out of this boat." So I tell it. Here's the thing: gossip gets us in trouble. The mouths of fools, Proverbs 18, are their undoing, and their lips are a snare to their lives. The words of a gossip, they're like choice morsels. They go down deep into the inmost parts. And they get you in trouble. This talebearer, this one who secretly carries stories from person to person, and maybe there's even a little truth in them. They misrepresent and they break friendships. In fact, gossip builds walls between people. And these walls are hard to break down. In fact, I think of our relationships and friendships. Be that person who people can go to and they know it's going to stay with you. You know, be that type of person who's not one who just spreads it and takes it everywhere. A gossip, Proverbs 11, betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person, they keep a secret. They keep a secret. They just blab, blab, blab. They think, hey, I just got to share this. It's just too good to keep. In Proverbs, again, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Our words, there's weight to our words. And I love this. I heard this years ago, but it really sticks. Great minds talk about ideas. Good minds talk about things. And weak minds talk about people. So my encouragement for all of us here, be a great mind, or at least be a good mind. Talk about ideas and things and leave people out of it. And sometimes, you know, it's like we egg it on. And you know those friends sometimes who are going to tell you stuff. So maybe, you know, I really don't need to hear this. Our words hurt. The gossip does not respect those he's close to. The other part of this is cool because there's gracious words. There's gracious words. The opposite of gossip is discretion, is being careful with our speech, wanting to avoid harming others, practicing discretion. And I remember, this week I was telling some of the staff, I told Brian, I said, what are you speaking on? I said, words. He said, oh boy, that's appropriate. You know, it's like, yeah. So, you know, lying, being gossip, you know, the idea of gracious words. So I need this. I want to be one whose words are seasoned with salt. And I want us to think through a little process here with this, and it's in your notes. Gracious words. They come when we maybe take a breath and ask, okay, are the facts really accurate in this? Do I have the facts straight? Do I have the facts straight or right? Here's another thought to this. Should love hide this? You know, it can be negotiable. It's not a test of faith. Love can hide this. Should love hide this? Is it hindering growth? I love 1 Peter here. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Are you listening to God? Are you listening to the Spirit with your words? Or are you grieving the Spirit, as Ephesians 4:30 says? Because we're told very clearly, don't grieve God, the Holy Spirit. And then, what's your attitude that you want to share this? Do you have the right attitude in sharing it? And then, are your words loving? Sometimes you might be sharing the truth, but you just do it in a way that's not loving. And Ephesians is so good again. It says to speak the truth. And when we do it in love, we will grow and become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. So again, what's cool about this is it grows our faith when we are gracious with our words, when we're truth tellers. So there's lying, there's gossip. There's three more still. There's harsh words. There's harsh words. Now, physical fighting's bad, but quarrelsome words can really do great damage. We remember that old phrase as a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words do hurt. Words hurt. I'll never forget seventh grade. Oh, three of the best years of my life. I'm in seventh grade. I was just there once. But I'm in seventh grade, and we were given this writing assignment. And the writing assignment was this. We were to watch something on TV and then write about what we saw, and then turn that in as an assignment. Now, of course, if you know me, I love sports. I love baseball. And in fact, we lived right on the Ohio-Pennsylvania line, so we could go to Pittsburgh in 70 miles or Cleveland in 60 miles. So we liked Pittsburgh and Cleveland. And I remember watching a baseball game that night. Yeah, I forget who it was. Let's just say it was the Reds playing the Pirates. And again, I wasn't a great student, but I did read the newspaper, and I read the sports page. And I remember, you know, I wrote it just like I used to read. Pittsburgh was down 3-2 going to the bottom of seventh, and Willie Stargell come up, and he hits a three-run homer. It was a blast over the right field wall, 470 feet, and Pittsburgh went on to win 3-2 and beat Cincinnati. Now they're two games out of first place in the National League East. So sounds like a pretty good article, right? So I turn in this article, and I'm proud of that. And the teacher, in a couple days, showed me the article and had a big F on top of it. She goes, "You didn't write this." Real harshly, "You couldn't write this." Harsh words. Hurtful. You know, I'm still in therapy. This helps me. But again, the words, what we say to our kids and our grandkids and our church members and our friends, bring great hurt or great hope. A gentle answer, Proverbs says, turns away wrath, but harsh words, they stir up anger. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Harsh words, they hurt. And again, we use our words sometimes with our tone, like, "Can't you do anything right? What's wrong with you?" By our body language. You know, be careful what we say. Sometimes we can be so harsh that we aren't attractive as followers of Christ. The opposite, kindness. We go from harshness to kindness. I love what Ephesians says here. Again, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your minds, but what's helpful and building up, according to their needs that it may benefit. Don't grieve the Spirit of whom you're sealed. And then he goes on with this list of what's not kind: bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And then he says, this is what is kind: compassion to one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ forgave you. So he says real strongly, not in your life, verse 31, but in your life, verse 32. And that gives us kind words. When we model that, when our kindness is so attractive by how we speak, that people, I want that Jesus that you have. Three initials. You've heard this probably, but I'll give it to you anyway. TNK. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? TNK. Two more. This one's definitely me. Talks too much. Talks too much. A great proverb that just fits. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. In other words, the more I talk, the more potential for sin. So, really, Gary, just be quiet. Talk less, listen more. That's the wisdom here from Solomon. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. Restrain your lips. So, we go from talking too much, destructive speech, to discern what's worth saying. Discern what is worth saying. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. What's worth saying? A person finds joy, Proverbs 15:23, in an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Don't you just love that person who can just listen to a situation and they just speak it just right? And their timing's perfect, their tone's perfect. And, you know, sometimes we use so many words that people aren't even following us. So, talking too much. And then the last destructive speech I'd like us to consider is talking too soon. It is talking too soon. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. What great wisdom from Solomon here. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. A humble person genuinely listens, really hears the whole story. And maybe you're like me, you're hearing a story from a friend, and you're starting to think, well, I'm going to one-up that story, or I'm going to answer them on what they're asking. And you start thinking of what you're going to say before they're even finished. And be careful of that. Be one who listens well and doesn't jump to conclusions before you should. I've got a good friend. I still talk to him regularly. He lives in Ohio. We were in student ministry together growing up. We were in each other's weddings. He's a pastor, and he's a friend that says, so I'll tell him something. In fact, when I really am feeling sorry for myself, I'll call him. You know, because he's one of those guys that's very objective, and he'll shoot you straight. Having a friend like that's a good friend. But I'll share a situation with him about a church member. No. Anyway, something I'm dealing with. And I'll share that, and he'll say, so what you're saying, Gary, is this. He'll repeat the matter, so I hear what I have said, and then he'll give proper instruction, proper counsel in this. And it's great to have that friend. So I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's the part, the contrast to this, talking too soon, and that is we humbly listen. We humbly listen. In James, and boy, there's great wisdom in there too. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Listen more than I speak. Don't just talk, 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 talk. Be quick to listen. Proverbs again. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Again, listening well, humbly listening. So, wrap this up with me this morning. As we process this information, and as we think of, okay, what can we do now to apply this to our lives? You know, I got to tell you, that phrase, loose lips, sink ships, probably the first time I heard it was about 15 years ago. And my wife was turning 50, I know, it was just a couple years ago. she was just turning 50, and we were surprising her for her birthday with my son in Hawaii and my daughter-in-law and their new baby at the time to come home. And we really wanted to make a big surprise, and I talked to my son, I talked to my daughter, I haven't told anybody. And I did good for several months, because the longer you book those tickets ahead, usually the better price you can get. So they're coming home, and I didn't tell anybody, and they get to Dallas. Usually you fly from Hawaii to Dallas or Hawaii to Phoenix, and they flew into Dallas, and they get to Dallas, and they've been up all night. And my daughter-in-law said, "Hey, have you told anybody?" And I didn't tell my wife, which was good, but I told my son. I said, "Hey, guess what? Josh is coming home today." And, you know, it was just too good to keep. And I said that, and my daughter-in-law said very respectfully, Josh had gotten to tell him time, and said, "Loose lips sink ships." So I was sunk. Really, it was appropriate, very respectful, good timing. Loose lips sinks ships. And that phrase, loose lips, the whole idea of it is beware of unguarded talk. Beware of unguarded talk, unwholesome talk that comes out of our mouth. I love how the Holman translation puts this verse. Just another slant. No foul language, Ephesians 4:29. No foul language is to come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who listen, who hear. Foul language. You know, that's rotten talk, attacking people, attacking character. So as we think of this, remember, speak in love, speak to bring growth. Constructive speech gives grace to those who hear. And then I got to end with just one more passage, okay? David, in the book of Psalms, he said this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I say, what I think about, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Here it is. Speak positively, make opportunities for our speech to encourage, to give hope, to provide guidance, and make people smile. Demonstrate, here it is, humility and gentleness, and allow the Spirit to guide your speech. Be gentle people, be humble people. God will bless our words when we do this. So, we're about to pray, and then we're going to give an invitation. We'll have prayer partners here at the front. Maybe you just want someone to pray with you, to just pray about some of the things you've said, some of your speech, whatever your need is this morning. You come. Maybe you've prayed that prayer this morning, that you've asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. You want to make that public. You want to share that with someone this morning. You do that. Whatever your need is, you come. Let's stand. Let's pray. Thank you, God, again for giving us words. Thank you for the words that we think of in your word that are powerful, that give us strength, that give us hope, that give us victory, that gives us guidance, Lord. How grateful we are for opportunities to hear your word that gives us such comfort and such hope. So I pray, Lord, as we evaluate this message, we've heard lots of scriptures. Thank you for your word. May they speak to us and challenge us and make us more like you. So bless and have your way in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You come as we sing.